Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest, Greg Wrightstone, who's written a very important book on the whole subject of climate change, global warming. The name of the book, which is basically in reference to Al Gore's old movie, is called Inconvenient Facts. His website is inconvenientfacts.xyz. Some people are saying we're having the worst drought in 1,200 years, and Greg Wrightstone asks, is this a hoax? Is this a mega drought, or is this mega propaganda? Okay, Greg, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there was a study just released last week describing the drought in the southwestern part of the United States as a mega drought and the worst in 1,200 years. And they were right, the study and the authors, that yes, there was a drought in the southwest. California, Nevada, that whole parts of Texas. It was a severe drought. But if we look at throughout history, dating back several thousand years, we see that that area of the country has gone through periodic drought time and time again. It's perfectly suited in its location for these type of events to occur. In the study, though, that was just published, again, last week, they claimed that the drought is ongoing, and claimed it. And there's nothing could be further from the truth. The drought ended early in 2019, and their facts stop at the end of 2018. It's very coincidental, isn't it?
Convenient.
And we see that. And in my, I just published a new commentary just 2 days ago. Published, and I looked at the NOAA. Drought severity index in the United States. There's a map of it. And would you know that according to NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, there is zero, that's right, zero drought. There's not 1 acre of drought that's occurring in the area that they're claiming to be drought stricken. And the only part of the United States that's it's actually in drought is the tiny, tiny little area of the Delmarva Peninsula, if you know where that is. It's Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia come together in that peninsula there, and it's a tiny, tiny part of the Delmarva Peninsula that's actually in drought. We've got less drought here in 2020 than there's been. It's either the least amount of drought in the United States or second least, dating back to when they started keeping records of this 20, 30 years ago. And according to them, well less than 0.5% of the United States is in what they consider to be severe drought. So what they were stating and what they're doing, and this is just another example, and Jerry, we need to expect to see this going forward, other things like this where they take an item that has a kernel of truth in it and then twist it and make it sound just terrible in order to have this promote this climate of fear, because we've just seen in the COVID-19, haven't we, what fear does to people. Because of fear, we've destroyed our economy. Because of fear, we're all locked down, cowering in our homes because of fear. And that's what they need is to promote this climate of fear in order to get their Green New Deal, the Paris Climate Accord, other economically destructive things passed, because without that fear, why else would we impose more taxation on everybody? Why would we increase our energy costs astronomically? Why would we just harm our nation and all the individuals and actually harm the poorest among us the most, which is what increasing energy costs will do?
Well, and this is the first time you and I have spoken since the coronavirus crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw some statements from some people saying, oh, this is really good for the planet because we're all shutting down and nature is allowed to being healed. There's kind of an anti-industrial revolution, anti-prosperity in the West type message, at the heart of the whole climate change alarmism message, isn't there?
There is, and it's fascinating there's some similarities and ties between COVID-19 and climate. Maybe the first one we should talk about is the models. With climate modeling, we've talked just about every time we've talked before, it always ends up talking about climate models, because this is what...
Which are notoriously, they don't work. I mean, example after example. I mean, in fact, there's even the hockey stick model of some professor out of Pennsylvania, and it was proven to be not true. And that was kind of at the heart of Al Gore's movie about 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Mann, Dr. Michael Mann from Penn State. Man-made warmings, M-A-N-N. And, but correct. So we've got these climate models that we show don't work very well. But again, they're projecting what's going to happen 50 or 80 years in the future. So we'll have to wait 50 or 80 years to say, oh, well, they were wrong. But here in COVID-19, it's almost a real time. We're seeing their predictions and modeling be proven wrong time and time again. And so now we had 30, 45, 60 days ago, we had what you would consider to be a consensus of the experts backing these climate models, right? And that's very similar to what they're telling us about, the COVID-19 models.
Okay.
And we're seeing the same thing now in climate change with these. And the other, so that's one similarity. Another is this, when it comes to climate, it's going to be really, 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 and I could add about five reallys, expensive to do the things like the Green New Deal. I've seen estimates of as much as $100 trillion that it would cost over the first 10 years if we enacted the Green New Deal as it was proposed. That's a lot of money, and that's a lot of money we don't have.
Yeah.
That money just went up in smoke with COVID-19 economic collapse, and so they're scrambling. And what they're trying to do is you're going to see every single calamity, anything that's odd is going to be tied back to climate change. Because what they need to do is bring this home to people and say, this is really dangerous and we need to act now. You saw that we were able to spread the disease expansion from our actions. We need to take that same action on climate change to save your lives. If it's, it's going to save millions of lives around the earth, and we have to do it. They're doubling down on this. This mega drought that I exposed as being just completely false, and it was easy to do. But you're going to see that there was another one on Antarctica melting, which was fascinating. The relationship, actually, I'm going to twist it all. Parts of Antarctica are melting, but it has nothing to do with climate change. It has to do with a geologically active area beneath the ice that's melting the ice from below. So that's a little bit there. But there are a whole series of these things I see every week where they're trying to take everything that's odd or different or unusual and tie it to man-made climate change. And there was a webinar that was put on in early April, on April 2nd. It was to the media, how the media should deal with climate change in an era of COVID-19. And they were advising editors and publishers, this is what you need to do. And that they talked about distancing. With COVID-19, the distancing aspect was when it was over in Wuhan, those poor people, I feel so bad for them. But then it got closer and closer, and our fear increased. And finally, it's on our doorstep and in our homes, and we're scared to death. And we closed the distancing very close. With climate change, they were talking about distancing being that it's far in the future. People don't see any immediate impacts. And they were preaching to the editorial boards and the media, you need to bring this home. We need to show people how climate change is affecting them today. And then that's their message, and that's what you expect to hear this. Your listeners should expect to hear even more and more over-the-top climate claims from these. And one of the women, one of the persons on this panel, in this webinar, was from the Council on Foreign Relations. You know what that is, right?
Yeah.
The CFR, a Rockefeller-funded one world government type
globalist.
And it was fascinating, kind of scary, because she kept coming back to, well, the COVID-19 is a global problem that needs global solutions, and so is climate change. Climate change is a global problem that requires global solutions. And that's typical CFR language. We need, you know, we need to get a one world order to control this. And I was like going, whoa, her true colors are showing here.
Sure. And we should back up and point out that you are an earth scientist. You have 35 plus years of study in geology and working in the field of geology. And overall, you don't buy the climate change alarmism message, the idea that man-made global warming is catastrophic and it's man-made. And if we hold back on, you know, let's say driving SUVs or using fossil fuels and so forth, the earth will start to heal. We use more solar and wind and so forth, then everything will be copacetic.
Oh, absolutely. And again, anyone that's heard me on your show or elsewhere knows I'm a huge proponent of the many benefits of rising temperatures and increasing CO2. I see an earth that's thriving and prospering, and humanity's benefiting from that. And there's a real Christian component to this.
Yes.
As I'm a member of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. I think you've had Calvin Beiser.
Absolutely. Yes. I know Cal personally. Yeah.
So I'm a senior fellow there. They just just this morning, if you're signed up for their email, you would have gotten my latest.
Yes, it was about this very issue, the drought. Propaganda.
600 million years of cooler than average temperature, which is, that's what it was about. It was kind of it was about drought. That's right. You're right. Yep. I got another one published just this morning. I stay pretty active. But you're right, the one on mega droughts I got from the Cornwall Alliance. And if your listeners aren't signed up for the Cornwall Alliance, their newsletter, you should do so. You don't get bombarded, and they're always pithy and informative. But it has a take on climate change from a Christian perspective about this. And as Christians, we should be doing things that help. We should target and help the poorest among us the most. And the solutions for climate change do just the opposite. They're really regressive taxation schemes. By that I mean a rise in energy taxation, rise in energy costs hurts the poorest among us the most because they spend the highest percentage of their income on energy. And the other Christian component would be if indeed our burning of fossil fuels is going to cause catastrophic collapse and millions are going to die, well, then, of course, it's our responsibility to do this. But the facts, the science, and data just don't support that. And again, what is supported clearly is the fact that our Earth and humanity are thriving and prospering. And by almost every metric you look at, discounting this COVID-19, but just about everything's getting better. More crop production. Deserts are shrinking, not expanding. The earth is greening. By that I mean vegetation's increasing, and not by a little bit, by a lot.
30 seconds left.
Yeah. Excuse me?
30 seconds left. Go ahead.
So, you know, that's my... this is, and I'll just quickly tell you what my philosophy is. I believe that we should use all of Earth's resources for the betterment of mankind and do it as good stewards.
Excellent. Greg Wrightstone. So the good news is the bad news is wrong. And people can get more information at inconvenientfacts.xyz. Greg, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.